Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Did that interview with the Associated Press, and there might be an article out later in the week about Diana DeGette. Diana DeGette, of course, Denver's U.S. representative. She has the chair for abortion at the U.S. House of Representatives. She sits in the abortion chair, and she followed in the footsteps of U.S. Representative Pat Schroeder. Pat Schroeder, who wrote a book about herself called The Champion of the Great American Family. I found that book once, a hardcover, for a penny. And that told a lot, I think. The issue of human sexual behavior, male and female, that God made us male and female, and homosexuality is wrong. It's destructive. And there are a lot of people who think that that is controversial just to say that God made us male and female. Well, there are different ways to look at that issue. One way is morally, biblically, from Scripture. And another way is, if it is wrong, then we should see negative consequences to a homosexual lifestyle. And so that would be a matter of scientific observation. The Family Research Institute in Colorado has been doing research regarding the homosexual lifestyle for many years, and Dr. Paul Cameron is the director. Dr. Cameron, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Hey.
It's great to have you back on the show, Dr. Cameron.
Oh, thank you. My pleasure.
Well, when we found out that the U.S. Postal Service, one of their inspectors, refused to mail your February newsletter, we were shocked. I guess eventually we shouldn't be shocked, because the persecution and discrimination against the Christian worldview is intensifying. But could you tell us the story? First of all, is it a rumor, or is it true they refused to mail your February newsletter?
Well, they refused to mail it except under the color of being, they said, and they gave us the documentation that they said we violated, that it was obscene and that it was traitorous. That is, specifically, that it contained filthy material, blah, 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 and violated the postal regulation that inciting to forcible resistance to U.S. law cannot be mailed through the mail. So I was very surprised to get this report from my printer.
I would think so. Dr. Cameron, this is absolutely shocking. But Family Research Institute, you guys have been operating for how many years? When were you formed?
We've been in the water for 28 years, way back in 1982. And
wow,
we've been mailing through the mail without ever a complaint like this.
You have published in refereed scientific journals. If I recall, this is going way back to the 90s, but maybe Psychology Reports or
many, many different journals, mm-hmm. Psychological Reports, the Journal of Biosocial Science, the Journal of Psychology, one of the oldest journals in the United States, in fact, psych journals in the world, Adolescence, and JAMA, et cetera.
JAMA, the Journal of the American Medical Association.
Yes. Uh-huh. Well, here comes this report, and then the confusing report that, well, we'll mail it out at a higher rate if you want to submit it.
Well, that is confusing, because if it's obscene and if it's traitorous, encouraging to a violent resistance to U.S. law, then what, do they just want to make a little more money for that?
Well, that's what I wasn't sure. I was very concerned that if I gave the order to mail it and then it were attempted, I would be in. I've just been told this is a violation of federal statute, and I'd set myself up for arrest. The FBI would be knocking on my door.
Hmm.
So we didn't mail, and we ended up appealing. And eventually, a couple of weeks later, The U.S. Postal Service decided that the people who did this in the Colorado Springs office, as near as I can determine, were wrong, and they overturned the ruling. Mm. And so we mailed. However, this is really odd. It's odd in this sense. You can go to our website, familyresearchinst.org,
right,
and you can read the letter and the newsletter, and you'll see there are no pictures, much less dirty pictures.
Yeah, right.
There are no four-letter words. There's no description of nasty activity. There's no call for insurrection against the government or to shoot or, you know, anything. Read it, and you say to yourself, gee, how could they do this? Well, there's only one obvious reason, and that is they wanted to hassle us. They wanted to put us in a very odd situation. And if that's so, who is it who gives postal employees the right to misuse their power, their authority, this way? I don't think anyone does. I certainly hope not.
Yeah, there should be a consequence, of course, and this is somewhat common. It reminds me of the Southern Poverty Law Center when they have arbitrary standards that they apply, for example, to groups that try to educate people on the dangers of homosexuality. They call those groups hate groups.
Yep, we're one of them. They're on us.
Yeah, you guys, and I'm a bit envious, Paul. I don't know how Bob and you're alive. After all these years, we don't qualify for the SPLC's hate list. I just don't get that. But we have tried, as everyone knows. But they are so arbitrary because, like, Wayne Besson, a homosexual activist that I debated a couple years ago, we have quite a report of that debate, and you could hear it online at kgov.com. His website is filled with what seems to be hatred toward those who oppose homosexuality, especially those like Kelly, who called into this show yesterday. She was a lesbian. She called us in 1997, very angry at what we were saying about homosexuality, that it was wrong and perverse. And then she became a Christian in 2001. So she's an ex-gay, ex-homosexual. Wayne Besson's website is filled with what seems like hatred to ex-gays to me. But somehow the left, they don't seem to criticize or even be able to see that hatred on that side.
Yeah, and no one is against hatred per se. I hate certain things.
And
I don't eat them.
And you,
I
you
hate
mean,
certain
oh, right.
kinds of activities. I stay away from them.
Right.
And people that I am kindly toward people who molest children, but I must say that I don't feel any.
Well, so, affinity. You don't feel an affinity for them. And if they're in court, you might not punch them in the face. You might treat them as you would treat any other criminal. As a human being, but then hope for a conviction and a punishment.
Sure.
Right.
And so if you get back to, like, for instance, Wayne Besson himself is an ex-gay. As I recall, he once was a Christian. Is he not the one that helped to found Exodus International?
Oh, I think that's someone else.
Is that someone else?
Yeah, I apologize for the,
all right.
Yeah,
maybe so.
That is.
Maybe
that is.
So.
That's someone else, right?
All right. Well, anyway, there are people that are exes, and what you've got here is especially for those in homosexuality, especially for those who decide that they want to be the opposite sex or pretend to be the opposite sex. They run around with a victim attitude and an angry victim attitude. Mm. If you won't go along with what they have to say, if you won't go along and endorse their homosexual activity, by George, you're a hater. It doesn't matter whether you say, look, you're a fine fellow. Why don't you quit doing this? After all, 300,000 gays have died of HIV, of AIDS, and you're doing this, you're endangering yourself, stop it. Mm. And they'll come back at you and say, oh, I suppose what I'm doing disgusts you. I suppose I don't have the right to do with my body what I feel like. Well, yeah, but we all have to pay for the consequences of what you do with your own body, just like when you don't slap on that seatbelt when you're driving a car.
Mm.
Come on now. If we have laws, and we do, here in Colorado and throughout many of the U.S. states, if you don't wear a seatbelt when you're in the car, you can get a ticket. How can we do that? Well, we reason, I think, reasonably so, though not perfectly so. Statistically, you're about 65% less apt to be seriously injured or killed if you're wearing a seatbelt if there is an accident.
And if there's an accident, then we all end up paying at some level when you are seriously injured, so please wear your seatbelt. That's the argument. With homosexuality, the devastation, the havoc that is wreaked in the homosexual community, and of course, they're not an island, and the families and the communities and the nation that tolerates homosexuality, it's just a tremendous human crisis.
Well, and its cost. The cost of one homosexual getting the AIDS cocktail is right now running at about $45,000 per year.
The AIDS cocktail. The AIDS cocktail is a concoction of drugs that are used to manage the HIV infection.
That's right. And you have to be monitored. You have to go to the doctor. You have to get all kinds of medical updates and seeing whether or not your immune system is weakening or if you need a new tweak or whatever. $45,000 a year. And right now, as we're speaking, there's somewhere in the vicinity, the CDC estimates, of about 400,000 gays, just gays, with HIV, and apparently they're on the drug cocktail. Well, you can do the math. We're talking about billions and billions of dollars that we're carrying, and that's per year. That's $45,000 per year per person. Now, it would be one thing if we didn't reason the way we do with seatbelts. But we do. We follow the John Stuart Mill's dictum that that which injures us all or harms us all is eligible for legal sanction. The gays would have us say, well, that's true for seatbelt wearers, but not for us. We have to do what we're doing. I mean, come on, we're different. We're society's pets. We should be able to get away with anything.
Well, and I think Mills there is correct, but by accident. You know, he's a humanist. He promotes this utilitarian philosophy, the greatest good for the greatest number of people. But in reality, because something harms everyone, that's a pretty good indication that it's fundamentally wrong. It comes down to, for me, I come at this from a perspective of our rights come from God, our Creator. He has established and revealed what is right and wrong. And He tells us that He made us male and female, and that homosexual behavior is not only a grave sin against God, but it's a perversion. And
yeah.
So when we see the destruction, the disease, and the depression and the suicide and so on that comes from homosexuality, we understand why for thousands of years in the Judeo-Christian legal tradition that homosexuality was not just the sin, it was a crime. It was against the law, and that was to protect millions of people who would try out homosexuality and to protect society itself from homosexual activity.
Right. And I think we're looking at two ways here. I see no problem with taking revealed regs, but also looking at,
the demographics.
Right. And you look at what is common in our court system. Right now, most English law is written from a utilitarian, a John Stuart Mill, Jeremy Bentham perspective. Now, here and there are odd things like preserving foreign species, like whatever the little rat is that runs around.
A jumping mouse and so,
whatever.
Right.
But generally, our laws are written. This most recent law supposedly is going to hopefully save us all money, blah, blah, blah. Well,
you know what? That's a good example, Dr. Cameron, because let's say socialized health care did save us money and did provide good health care. It's still wrong because God only authorized governments to do certain things like infrastructure and criminal justice and the military, not to give housing and food stamps and education and health care to our kids. So when we disobey God, even if it looks like, look, we're doing the greater good for the greatest number of people, God didn't say that that's the standard that government should use. In fact, I would argue that standard is impossible to quantify. It's too difficult for human beings to make an assessment, is national health care the greatest good for the greatest number of people? And when you try to do that equation, you might not get the right answer because you're just not smart enough. Your IQ isn't high enough, yet you're advocating for socialism, which you should see is wrong because God said, thou shalt not steal. God said, thou shalt not steal. So socialism we should oppose, regardless if some lawyers and politicians could make really mellifluent sounding arguments that this is the greatest good for the greatest number of people. But
that's a different discussion. We might part company on a few of those propositions, but
right.
let's go back, for instance, to I think it's important to have data that they can go to court, data that you can take to the legislature and say, well, look at this. And that's what we were pointing out in the newsletter.
Yeah.
If the law is changed and gays are allowed to go into the military as gays, as homosexuals, then they will be in a privileged position. There will be sex in the barracks. It'll be homosexual sex.
Right.
There will be recruiting in the showers. Everybody who isn't a homosexual, I guess everybody, period, is going to be on sexual alert at all times.
Well, homosexuality robs us of environments that are not sexually charged.
That's right.
Like a bunch of guys could get together. They could go on a camping trip on a weekend. They could go to the Y. They could be in a spa, in a hot tub, steam rooms. But when you introduce homosexuality into society, then you have robbed us of sexually neutral environments. And that is just one example of how homosexuality ruins and undermines a civil society.
That's right. Plus, here you are, you're a guy, and say 90-some-odd percent of all the guys, it looks like about 98, 99% of them in the armed forces are straights. They don't care what the other guy looks like. Now, don't get me wrong. We might look and see, well, boy, he's got good abs or whatever.
Yeah.
But no one's looking at each other sexually.
Right.
Now you put somebody in there and says, Wow, boy, I would find that uncomfortable.
Oh, that's why we don't allow men in the ladies' locker rooms.
Yeah, and I think for a good reason. You could say, well, couldn't a strong man just shower with women and blah, blah, blah? Yeah. How long is any man going to be strong enough to say, shucks, I'm married, or I'm unmarried. I'm not going to lust. I'm not. Well, come on, give me a break.
Yeah, give me a break is right. We don't do it out of respect to women and because it's an unnecessary temptation to men. It would be wrong to have men and women share bathrooms and showers simultaneously.
Yes. And
so homosexuality, you could no longer maintain that level of human decency. Homosexuality destroys that, and you end up telling thousands, millions of people, look, you're going to be the target of sexual voyeurism where you should be free and in a neutral environment, and you got to take it. Otherwise, you're a hater.
That's right. And probably there would have to be sensitivity training.
Yeah.
You can just see it now. Another one of those dreary lectures. But it's going to be less than dreary because you're going to see guys having at it in your barracks. And you're going to know that because they're homosexual, they can do that because, well, that's what homosexuals do.
Yeah.
Look at their parades. They do it on parades. They do it in the parks. They do it in the bathrooms. They do it everywhere.
Well, Dr. Cameron, in Denver, in a taco restaurant some years ago, I had two callers call into the show. We actually met because I wanted to get the story straight from people I could look at face to face. They said in this restaurant, two male employees went into the men's room, locked the door, and it was a men's room with just one stall in there, and they heard them having sex, and they came out and they went back to work, and they were so disgusted they contacted the Denver Department of Health, and the Department of Health criticized them and told them that they should go to sensitivity training. How's that one from the Denver Department of Health?
It would be that way with the Department of Defense. Bet on it. But what do we do? Why do we have a military? It's not a social situation. It's not a situation where we like to see people march and play bands and wave flags. We need the military because we are essentially the rulers of the world. We have an empire. We are protecting that empire. We need to have a military force, a force capable of destroying things and killing people, if need be. And if we weaken it by having only people who can accept, oh, well, the gays are at it again, chuckle, chuckle. Yeah, they're looking at me in the shower. Yeah, every time I turn around, one of them saying, how about it, Butch? You want to give it a try? You don't know until you've tried it.
Yeah, just like men would say if they were in the ladies' locker rooms day after day.
Sure.
Right.
You might not be attracted to every gal, but shucks.
Of course. So, Dr. Cameron, let me ask you this. I've been on the air for almost 20 years, 5 days a week, and the whole time we've warned people about homosexuality, that it's destructive, that God made us male and female. It's not only a sin against him, it destroys your own body, your family, your society. And there are other talk show hosts. I'll name one in the Denver metro area on KHAL Radio, Peter Boyles.
Right.
And Peter presents his acceptance and support of homosexuality in such a way that if you disagree, you're a hater. You hate people.
Mm-hmm.
And here's how I think it through. In the thousands of years that homosexuality was a crime, like in America, it was a capital crime in Virginia when Thomas Jefferson was the governor of Virginia.
Right.
And you go back to the time of the New Testament among Christians and the Old Testament, it's criminal. It's not only a sin, it's criminal. So just in the last 40 years, homosexuality has been decriminalized in America and much of the world, the West especially, and we have seen a slaughter of people through their homosexual activity, not only with sexually transmitted diseases, but in other ways. And it seems that America's history, if you go back from 1960 to Jamestown, there were very few people who died because of homosexuality. Go from 1960 to today, in Peter Boyle's world, you have hundreds of thousands of Americans who've suffered tortured deaths because of our tolerance and support of homosexuality, and you extrapolate that around the world, millions of human beings have suffered tortured deaths because of those like Peter Boyles who promote this perversion as though it were a good thing.
Yeah, I think that's true. We still have murder, even though we have laws against it.
Oh, yeah.
But if the law of murder were removed, and to some degree, our culture is sort of doing that now by making the penalties lighter and making all kinds of excuses. If you can prove you're not quite as bright as most folk, or a little bit younger, or whatever it is. Your daddy beat you when you were a kid. I think you get more of it. Now, it isn't an iron law, but it's a pretty good law.
Right, a rule of thumb.
Right.
You end up with a murder epidemic when you make it easier for people to commit murder and not be executed, for example.
Right. And here we have a situation where, as you well pointed out, literally 300,000 gays have died I'm not talking about the ones that are running around right now with HIV and are dying prematurely because of it, dying a slower death. But 300,000 have already died, and they didn't get it out of the air. It wasn't rained on them by birds. They didn't get it from the water. They got it from homosexuality per se.
Mm.
And so being liberal about this is being foolish about this.
I think it's being unloving to your neighbor. It's as though Peter Boyles was saying, you could chain smoke all you want, you're not going to get lung cancer. Dr. Cameron, for years on this show, I said to people, AIDS, for example, HIV, is a homosexual disease. And after I was mocked for probably 15 years on that topic. And in the last couple years, even the Centers for Disease Control have come out and said AIDS is an epidemic that will not be pandemic in America. It's not going to target the general population. It's primarily homosexuals and intravenous drug users and so on.
Right. Well, they have done that, but I want you to notice that they have done that after I, and of course you, campaigned during the 80s. As you may recall, I was pretty instrumental in getting gays' blood banned from the blood bank.
Yeah,
I campaigned heavily for that in the early 80s, and we got some fruition in 85.
And thank you for that, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, and we only have another 20 seconds. I'm so sorry, but could you conclude that thought?
All right. Now that pro-gay policies are in place, the CDC will admit the obvious. Too late. A buck too short.
Yeah, what a great point. Thank you, Paul Cameron. So I'm glad eventually that was overturned, but that's an example of the hostility against the Christian worldview.
You bet.
God bless you, Dr. Cameron. Appreciate that. His website, FamilyResearchInst.org. Our website is kgov.com. Maranatha, what a great school. May God bless you. There's a home listed for sale in Arvada at 7100 Newman that you must see to appreciate. Hi, this is Bob Inyart. This home of 3,500 square feet sits on 2.3 secluded acres that are zoned agricultural with waterfalls and water rights. Bring the family, horses, and even livestock. Listed at $455,000, this is $80,000 under the current appraised value. For more information or to schedule a showing, please call Sharon Bean, Dynamic Properties of Colorado, 303-358-9859. That's 303-358-9859.